All right, hi everybody, and welcome to lecture 82 in this American history program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We are moving into the final part of the course, part 6. And in this part of the course, we will see a new kind of America. And remember that we have kind of shifted our way of thinking about American history now. In much of our story, in the early parts of the course, we were interested to know how did there come to be a United States, right? And in many cases, we saw things that happened in the distant past that help us to understand why America came to be. And we can look back on many of our, quote, anchor facts and see that. But now we're starting to have a different perspective that relates more to what we see around us. And so the question we're starting to ask is more specific. It's more, how did the America we see around us today come to be the way that it is? And so we have now this more complete set of anchor facts and an anchor fact timeline that has this idea in it where we're seeing events on the timeline that have more to do with America today than, well, of course, they don't have anything to do with America as it originally was. And we start to see a set of facts that all have something kind of in common with each other. So if we look here, for instance, in recent American history, the most important events, what do they all have in common? WW1 stands for World War I. WW2, World War II. And the one that we've had from the start, the terrorist attacks of 9/11, 2001. What do these all have in common? What are these such important events that have shaped what America is today? What do they all have in common? Rosetta?
America was combined with the World War I and World War II and the terrorist attacks.
I'm not sure what that meant. Could you try that again?
America was
I sense you're having trouble putting it into words. That's all right. Okay. I'm going to see. Does anybody else want to try here? World War I, World War II, those have an obvious common factor to them, don't they? They are both world wars. Okay. And this one is a little bit different. But, all right, they have to do with an attack on the United States by terrorists from the Middle East. So, and now America is in a war on terror against terrorism, right? So all three of these things are wars. American history, modern American history, has some pretty big and important wars in it, sadly. So this is going to be what we are mostly going to look at. Modern American history has a lot of amazing stories. And unfortunately, we can't possibly look at them all. And there are some positive ones, there are some negative ones, there are many different things. Some of them we're going to look at in History Through Art because we have a chance to look at them that way, and it's kind of nice. But as far as history is concerned, we are always focused on something. Right? We are not going to do everything equally. We are interested in a certain kind of fact about the past. What kind? Gotta get our brains working on a Monday morning here. What is the most important word in history? You guys can't get this one? We're gonna have to call it a day and come back tomorrow. All right, Nemo, help us out.
Important.
Important is the most important word in history. Exactly. Okay. So we have to look at this really complicated modern story of America that has so many interesting parts to it. And we have to find the most important part. And the most important part is that the United States has been, for the past century, fighting wars all over the world. Now, when the United States was born and started out, it was not a country that would have done that. So we're going to have to go back here and remind ourselves of the way that America was at first. And then we're going to have to ask the question, how come it's not like that anymore? How come we live in a time in which the United States is, as I put it in the title of today's lecture, an international police power? That's a very interesting expression. We're going to have to sort that out because it's got a lot of good words in it. And we better know what those words mean. Otherwise, we're going to make one of those mistakes again where we use words and don't know what they mean. So we're going to have to pay close attention to this. International police power. How did America come to be that? So when you hear the word international police power, the word in the middle is the one that I want to start with here. Police. What does that word mean to you when you hear the word police? It could be a noun, it can be a verb. What is a police? Or what is it to police? Abby?
When I think of police, I guess I just think of men in uniforms who will ride around in the police cars and enforce the laws.
Okay, well put, right? Men and women in uniforms that enforce the laws, right? The police are the government employees that protect us from criminals, and protect our rights and enforce the laws. Right. Okay. So now we think of them in our neighborhoods, in our cities and so on, right? And they're kind of a part of any society that you go in is going to have a police to do that for you. But notice that we're talking about America as a country being a police power. Who can sort of see how we can take the idea of that Abby has just helped us with, the idea of people who enforce the laws in our communities, and change that and make it into a country being a police power? How would that work? What does America do if it is an international police power? What are we going to be expecting it to do? Abby, go ahead again.
Well, it's like the America, the country, would be the country who would go around and make sure all the other countries were, you know, following the rules and being fair and fighting wars. Also, America would go around fighting wars to help other countries sometimes.
Okay. So yeah, that's a good start, Abby, and you're exactly on the right track. So we're going to be trying to figure out what it could mean, what it looks like for a country to try to act like a policeman. right? Because we have one idea that has to do with how we live in our communities, and now we're going to be kind of taking it and blowing it up onto a world scale and talking about a country acting like a policeman. What does that look like? And is there a set of laws that that country is enforcing? If so, who made them? What do they look like? And so on. Or as Abby said, are they rules that nations have to follow? What does it look like when a country is kind of acting like a policeman? That's what we're going to look at today. And in particular, we're going to look at the first time in history where the United States began to behave like a policeman in the world and see what that looks like. Okay? It's called the Spanish-American War of 1898. All right, so now before we get to the Spanish-American War and the first time that the United States ever acted like a policeman around the world, I want to make sure that we understand what America was like before it became the world police power. Remind ourselves of what America was like originally and how the founding fathers believed the United States should act in the world. So, who can kind of help us recall that way of looking at things? For instance, George Washington. When France and England and the rest of Europe were at war with each other, what did George Washington say the United States should do? Wyatt?
George Washington said they should not go into a war.
And what's that word for not getting involved in somebody else's war?
Neutral.
Being neutral, right. George Washington issued the Proclamation of Neutrality, saying we are not going to get involved in other people's wars. And he also said, when he finally was done being the president, he said, I have advice for you, America. I am your first president, and I have some very important advice. And my advice is that you should minimize your political connection to other countries. That's kind of a big sounding phrase, but we could say in basic sort of way, George Washington said to Americans, he said, you should not get involved in other people's wars. That's basically what it amounts to in a simple phrase. Okay? America should not do that. And the rest of the founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson and so on, were pretty much of the same mind, all the way up until the youngest of the founding fathers, James Monroe. And James Monroe took all of that advice and kind of wrapped it up into one package. What do we call that package that's named after him? Where he put together all of these rules that the founding fathers had made for America and said, okay, from now on, we're going to have this set of rules. Nemo?
The Monroe Doctrine.
The Monroe Doctrine, right, exactly. The Monroe Doctrine said that the United States would not get involved in other people's wars, but it also warned the countries of Europe. And it said, what we want, basically, is to remain disconnected from you. We know what you're like. We know that you're constantly going to be getting involved in wars with each other. And the American government has a job to do. Which is what? Let's remind ourselves of what Thomas Jefferson said the job of a proper government is. What is a government supposed to do? Protect something. Everybody's hands go up or you failed the course. What is a government supposed to do according to the Declaration of Independence? Rosetta?
Protect people's rights.
Whose rights?
Like the Americans.
Okay, the citizens of, right, under the government. It's supposed to protect people's rights. And what was that nice list that he gave us?
There
were three items there.
my goodness. It's...
Every individual has an unalienable right to...
Pursue...
Well, that's the third one. That's the third one. Wyatt?
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Good. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, the job of a government is to protect the rights of its citizens. Now, other governments in the world don't agree to that. Other people in the world don't agree with that idea. And so, since that is the job of the American government, though... That's the main job. Then how does that connect up with not getting involved in other people's wars? Can you see the relationship between the two? If your job as a government is to protect American citizens, then how does that work? If two other countries are getting involved in a war, do you see a connection? Their citizens are attacking each other. Those countries are hurting each other. What does that have to do with Americans? What did George Washington say? Abby?
Nothing.
Nothing. Right, exactly. Now, if they're not careful and they hurt Americans, then, well, then the American government has a job to do. But... if the job of the American government is to protect the rights of its citizens, then the fights that other people have nothing to do with that. In other parts of the world, far away, if they don't understand how to live in a civilized way, it's not the job of the American government to go and teach them how to do it or force them to do it. As long as the life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness of Americans is not involved. All right, so that was the Thomas Jefferson, that was George Washington, that was James Monroe. We don't want to get involved in other people's wars because the job of the American government is to protect the rights of Americans. All right, so now what happens if we bring up this interesting map over here and we see the United States, which we know where it is, right? Okay, and what happens if there's a war right here? Does anybody know what this island is that's right next to the United States? It's not labeled on here, so it's a good puzzle. Here's Florida, right? Oh, I should have asked that as a question. Right, this is Florida, and here, look at this island. It's a big island right next to the United States. Jack, what is that island?
Cuba.
Cuba. Okay, what happens if there's a war right here? Is that a problem for the United States? It's really, really close to America, isn't it? In 1898... Cuba was a part of the Spanish Empire. Here's Cuba. Here's Spain, right? And why were they a part of the Spanish Empire? Quick, somebody give me an answer based on an anchor fact. Because somebody we know sailed for Spain in a certain notable year. Patrick?
Was it Marco Polo?
Oh, goodness gracious, no. Okay. An anchor fact. Rosetta?
Christopher Columbus.
Christopher Columbus sailed to the Americas in 1492, right? For Spain. Aha. So if we go back now to our map, and there were parts of America that still belonged to Spain all the way in 1898. But what was happening in 1898 was... Cuba was rebelling against Spain. That sounds interesting. The United States had rebelled against England. Cuba was now rebelling against Spain. Sounds probably like a good thing. And look at this. Cuba is a neighbor of the United States. What should America do? Hmm. What should America do? Now, what would President Monroe say? What would Thomas Jefferson say? What would George Washington say? Abby?
Leave it alone and stay neutral and don't fight their war.
Okay. Probably in a basic answer, yes. Except, this is right next door. This is Cuba here. It's just a few miles away from Florida. So, wouldn't you feel kind of nervous if some of your neighbors were shooting guns in their backyard? Right next to your house? Wouldn't you be kind of worried? Wouldn't you maybe call the police and say, I don't like people shooting guns in their backyard right next to my house? Wouldn't you feel kind of nervous if it was right next to you? So Americans were kind of wondering here, well, we have this rule that the Founding Fathers gave us, which is that we should not get involved in the wars of other people, and this doesn't have anything to do with the rights of Americans, but it is right next door. So maybe that changes how we should act. That's the question. Would it change how you would act? I mean, it's one thing to know that people are harming each other on the other side of the world. Isn't it a different thing? Wouldn't you feel differently to know that people are harming each other right next door to your house? Does that change how you think about it? Rosetta, what about you?
It changes how I think about it.
It does, right? Why?
Because you basically do not want people fighting right next door to you.
Why not? Why is it different that they're next door to you? It's a good question. It's hard to put into words. I'm trying to get you guys to think about what Americans were thinking about at the time. You see that some people would say, well, it's really close to us, and so it's one way to look at it would be it's more dangerous to us. Because if there's a war next door, isn't there a possibility that maybe there will be danger for us too? Is it a good comparison to make? That Cuba is kind of right over here. Is that really like having a neighbor? It kind of feels that way. Right? So some Americans were thinking, well, how do we follow the rule here of not getting involved in other people's wars when it's right next door to us and we don't like having the Spanish Empire, you know, being violent so close to us? Patrick?
It does seem a little bit like it's part of America.
It seems like it's... See, that's part of what some people were thinking. It kind of feels like it's part of America. So we should maybe help. We like to have other countries that are independent next to us. And our other neighbors in the Americas have become independent. And we don't want this connection back to Europe. We don't want the Spanish Empire as a neighbor of America. Right? Can you guys remember an example of, for instance, having another empire as a neighbor to America? And remember Thomas Jefferson had something to say about that? He was worried about the French Empire being a neighbor to America. And he says, well, I don't really like that. So what did he do to stop the French Empire from being a neighbor of America? Abby?
He told them that if they tried to take over America, then he would make an alliance with Britain and
right.
attack them.
Okay, and so then he convinced them to give up what?
He convinced them to give up the land on the other side of the Mississippi River.
Right, the Louisiana Purchase, that is called. Exactly. Okay, so this is kind of similar, except the situation was there was a war between Spain and its own colony. Now, is that a war between Spain and America? No, it's not either. But it's that situation where your neighbors are fighting. Kind of a tricky one to figure out what to do. And so it's still, you know, was still, Spain was not attacking the United States. Americans were not being hurt. But it was a war of your neighbors. Certainly going to make you a lot more nervous. Probably make it harder for you to say, well, we are going to stay neutral. You can understand how it would be harder for you to say, we're going to stay neutral, right? If there's violence next door to you, you feel more nervous. Maybe you would just, if you wanted to be protected, you would probably want to have your army and your navy kind of next nearby just to make sure that Americans were being protected or something like that, right? It'd be kind of hard to figure out exactly what to do. And so the United States decided, at first, the United States decided, okay, what we want to do is make sure that Americans are safe. So we're going to send down one of our most powerful ships, a battleship. We're going to send one down to Cuba and just show them, put it in the port in Cuba and show them that we're concerned and that we're worried about things. And they should, you know, keep that in mind, whatever they're doing over there. And so they sent, the Americans sent the battleship USS Maine, named after the state, right, down to Cuba. And then something happened. That ship was destroyed. And nobody could figure out exactly how that happened. The USS Maine was destroyed in Cuba. And of course, now when that happened, Americans were pretty upset, right? And some Americans were saying, well, now Americans have been hurt, Americans have been killed, an American ship has been destroyed, we need to get involved in the war. Our neighbors are fighting. Oh, and on top of that, Americans found out that Spain was being really brutal. Spain was taking the people of Cuba and putting them in what in modern times we call concentration camps. Does anybody know, when you hear that expression, do you know what that means? Rosetta?
Concentration camps are where they're put, and they're basically isolated. They can't go anywhere. And you usually, you know, you can't go anywhere. It's a horrible place.
Yeah, exactly. There's kind of, we could use a synonym for that. Jeremy, what's a good synonym for a concentration camp?
I don't know.
Okay, what was your explanation?
That was a place where people went to be punished.
Yeah, right. And we have another word for that. What happens when you commit a crime and you are put in such a place where you can't leave? We have a word for that. A concentration camp is like, Abby?
A prison.
A prison, exactly. Right, so the Spanish Empire was creating these big prisons all over Cuba and forcing people into them, treating them really, really badly. You would, it was like living in a prison, essentially. Turning Cuba into a giant prison. That made people upset. So the United States decided, that's it, we are going to get involved in this war. Our ship has been attacked. We don't like having a neighboring country at war. And we really are upset with the way that the Spanish Empire is treating its colony. So we're going to get involved in this war. And the United States declared war on the Spanish Empire. Now, I don't think that that was something that President James Monroe would have wanted to do, but it happened. So the United States became involved in a war with the Spanish Empire over Cuba. But here's the thing. If you are fighting the Spanish Empire, and the Spanish Empire is all around the world, do you get to pick what parts of the Spanish Empire you get to fight? Do you get to say to the Spanish Empire, we're going to war with you. Oh, but by the way, please only fight us in Cuba. Oh, by the way, we don't want to, you know, have a big, big headache here. We just want to fight this part of you over here. Can we just make a deal where we'll only fight over here? Right? When you go to war with a country, you go to war with the whole country. If you want to go to war with an empire, you have to go to war with the entire empire. And it turns out that the Spanish Empire was global. We got Spain over here, and we have Cuba over here. Well, it turns out, here we have the United States in the middle. Well, it turns out that the Spanish Empire also included these places. The Philippines over here, the set of islands, island of Guam over here. So they're fighting this, going to war with Spain meant that you were fighting a country that had an empire around the world, and you would have to fight them around the world. So in 1898, when the United States decided to get involved in this war against Spain, it ended up getting involved in a war around the world. The United States won this war. But this is when things started to get complicated. The United States conquered Cuba. The United States took over not only Cuba, but over here, Puerto Rico, another place nearby. It also conquered and took over the Philippines and Guam in this war because it was more powerful than Spain. It won these things. It took over these things. But now what? Now the United States was in charge of the territory of another empire. What was it going to do? This is not an easy question to ask, because if you are not getting involved in other people's wars and you are not conquering territory around the world, well, you never have to worry about these questions. But now that you have conquered the Philippines over here in 1898, and the people there cannot stay independent without your help, what are you going to do? The people there had been conquered by Spain. They were not going to be able to stay independent unless the United States continued to help them. Now, what are you going to do? Abby?
Well, you're going to have to stay with them and keep an alliance with them and help them.
And protect them and make sure that the bullies of the world are not kind of doing bad things over there. You're going to have to take care of Cuba. Now that you have helped Cuba to become independent, you're going to have to take care of the Philippines now that you've helped them to become independent, because Spain might come back and try to conquer those territories again. So now how are you going to have to act as a country with other countries in the world if you're going to now have to protect them from bullies, from countries that would otherwise attack them? What's that like? What word do we have for people that do that in our communities? That protect us from criminals, that protect us from violence from others? Nemo?
Police.
Police. Now we have a new kind of set of behaviors, a new kind of set of rules for acting. If you are going to protect these people all around the world, you're going to have to be like a police. Starting in 1898, the United States started to have new challenges because of the Spanish-American War. It started to behave like a police for the rest of the world. This was just the beginning. And Americans were not sure if they wanted to do this. It didn't seem like such a good thing. They were wondering, oh, wait a minute, how did we get into this situation where we now have to protect the people of the Philippines? We never had anything to do with them before. And now all of a sudden we have to take care of them. We didn't used to live this way, and Americans weren't convinced that it was a good thing to do. So people started to wonder, should we act this way or not? Or should we maybe try to go back to the Monroe Doctrine? So we're going to have to see that Americans weren't sure what to do, but eventually this became the way that Americans acted. We're going to have to see how come they decided to give up the old way of doing things and start doing things this way now. Start being an international police power. It started with the Spanish-American War, but as we'll see, it's not going to be until the world wars that Americans decided we have to do this as our main job in the world. All right, we'll pick things up with that story. After the Spanish-American War, the United States started to act as an international police power, and we'll see that pretty soon it started to get involved in more and more wars, more and more and more and more, everywhere, all over the world, until now today, no matter what happens and where it is happening, pretty much everybody expects the United States is going to police whatever the situation is. And Americans have pretty much made a habit of it now. Americans are used to doing this. They've given up on the idea that the Founding Fathers once had and are now going all around the world policing everybody. That's the world that we live in now, and that's what we're going to try to understand. And, of course, what does it mean for us? What's it like to live in a world where the United States is the world police power? Okay, folks, that is what's coming up in Part 6. That's it for today. Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye.
Bye-bye.